What about the wine industry? Isn't that an example of how big corporations and small growers can live together?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what the main difference is so far. This is state by state, but in a lot of states, the way the regulations are structured, it actually pushes it towards scale-based companies, big multi-state operators.
They get favoritism with
government? Because there are some real economies of scale and growing, and it's really the regulatory landscape that's determining whether certain states are, like Washington and Oregon, the way they're allowing licensing or disallowing big licensing is allowing a bunch of individual independents to thrive. Other states like New York, Florida, Ohio are going towards just a few licenses that there's going to be 10 companies only that are going to control all of the cultivation in the state.
And that's kind of like the old boys clubs of those states in a way, right?
And that's it. Yeah. And then California is kind of in the middle.
It's giving us the lay of the land of state-of-the-art where cannabis businesses
some independence, these days. But they allow stacking of licenses in California.
Yeah.
So there's a tendency in California towards large operations, but there's just enough ability to differentiate. Independents are allowed in California to band together in co-ops, which are co-ops are banned in other states.
Really?
They're not allowed to do that. So,
do they give you a power of a corporation?
Yeah, so a co-op will allow independents to sort of act like
a big corporation.
Agricultural cooperative. Yeah. So there's a traditional model for agricultural cooperatives, like in the dairy industry, for example, where a bunch of farmers come together, and then they can standardize their product, homogenize it in one particular area, and then sell it into the market and get a better deal because they're bringing their resources together.
So the cannabis community here can do that?
Yes, correct.
In California, they can. Yeah. But
and are they?
States,
are they doing
cannot.
It here?
They are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how the Emerald Triangle is surviving. It's because all those small farms come together, and they standardize their product within their farms. They use genetics, so it has a particular brand capacity. You know, it's sun-grown from this particular appellation or whatever. So there's a lot of movement towards that. That also allows them to get their products cheaper. Like, they can buy our soil at a reduced amount because they're a cooperative, so they get 1,000-yard pricing, where they might only buy 100 yards of soil.
Right, so economies of scale make
absolutely
a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Also shared marketing and distribution, I would imagine, too, right?
Yep, that's right, exactly. Yeah. So you might have, like, a one centralized distribution for that cooperative.
Right.
But in Colorado, that doesn't exist.
Really? So it's really very different from state to state, huh?
It's all about the regulations that the state puts in.
Is this so?
Is shaping every market.
So is California the least corporate of all the choices?
I would say Oregon or Washington are the
even
least.
Even more
corporate.
So, right?
Yes.
So they support
much
cooperatives
so
even more than.
California is right in the middle.
I see, because they have a lot of big corporate interests here, too. So there's a kind of a competition between the cooperatives and the corporations.
Yeah, well, that's the whole intent of the cooperative. The ag cooperative is to protect the small farmer from corporate interests.
Right,
in that sense, that they can compete on a kind of a level playing field.
It's their business. So.
Exactly. And also, the other thing about that is you can have a cooperative that can then specialize within the market itself.
Well, we're just
so they can provide a different product at a better quality, or perhaps a different particular style, have some kind of expression. Maybe it's a medical product. You know, it allows them to just be a little bit more powerful in the industry.
Right.
You know, like, they can't work at the same economy as a scale that a really large corporation can. They can standardize their products and have them available on the market in a really interesting way.
So do you think what comes down here could be applied to other states?
Sure, absolutely.
So what do you think?
As a model for regenerative agriculture or for supporting small family farms,
right,
that's a model we really need in the U.S. right now.
Small family farms?
Well, yeah, people being in touch with the land, people growing regeneratively.
Right, right.
People actually have.
You can do it on a smaller scale?
Absolutely, you can.
Yeah.
You can support your family, you know?
Right, right, right.
If you want that lifestyle. And that's what, you know, people going back to the land is really key. You need to be in connection with this.
So in a sense, it's a whole lifestyle choice.
Absolutely. Well, it's a shift between extractive and regenerative paradigms. So extractive is the oil and gas industry and how we've done things with fossil fuels.
How things have been done up to this point.
And salt-based nutrients since the Second World War, all of that. That green revolution is really an extractive revolution. Think about extracting nitrogen out of the air to make fertilizer with.
You know? So you think regenerative is a good description of what's happening?
We can make carbon from a problem molecule into a solved. We take it out of the air, we put it in soil, we grow microbial communities, we grow healthier soil, more nutrient-dense soil, more food per acre, better for you, cheaper, using biology to do it.
Cannabis dispensary. I run a technology company called Enlighten, and this is the future of cannabis. When you're able to take it to a concert, or wherever. This is the Cannabus. You can bring this.
Cannabus.
A dispensary. TheRealCannabus.com.
Yes.
And so this is what the dispensaries will travel around. We'll build these for dispensaries if they want them. I'll also run a television network in 1,200 marijuana dispensaries so I can have broadcast brands. But all my technology solutions are showcased in here.
Come on,
so this is our mock dispensary.
Wow.
So here we showcase all of our products, like our self-service kiosk. So you can see
you can choose, what you have in
choose
inventory.
What products,
Nice. Can you choose by what mood you want? Or
it depends on a dispensary. Some dispensaries will categorize the moods and things like that. So we build this for other dispensaries.
Oh, I see. So it depends on...
I run the biggest technology company.
Okay, you're behind the scenes.
We do all of this stuff. Right. You go to dispensaries, all the kiosk and this stuff.
Oh, yes, the technology.
And we built this to show this off.
Yeah, the relational databases on how these... affected.
Yes, yeah. Showcase for the tech. Yeah, this is my showcase for the tech. I also rent this bus out for events and if somebody want to do on-site sales. And I run a television network in 1,200 marijuana dispensaries in 36 states and 3 countries. And so if you're a brand and you want to buy ad space, I can put you in front of Jeremy Jacobs.
What do you think of this idea? If I could dial in the THC and the CBN I'd like and then see what's available in that range.
Like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that? Yeah, and then you would say you're interested in certain categories of products?
Yes, like a relational database.
So, so we can say, okay.
That brings up the subcategories.
Oh, there's concentrates, so I can say I'm only interested in concentrates.
Right.
So now it's going to narrow it down to just those. So these are the concentrates that fit the profile you just put.
Yes.
We can push over here and do a list view. Mm-hmm. Check them out in list view if we want to, or we can swap over to grid.
Yeah, beautiful.
Dive in. Get in, we can just kind of scroll around if we want. Over here, let's say you were interested in learning more about edibles.
Can you just click on it to buy it, too?
If you're curious, next quarter you'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
If you're interested in, like, let's say you come in, you don't know what you want. You say, I've heard about these concentrates, tell me about them. Well, let's see how they're made. So I get this button, and boom, we watch a video.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So I queue up a video.
Uh-huh.
That's my advertising book. This is about our solutions. So the technology's in here, the advertising stuff's in there.
All right.
Nice.
This is for sleep faster, wake better. So this one's for sleep.
I'll do that tonight.
There you go. Here, I'll take that
back. Thank you. Oh, so I'll take it. Okay. It's all right.
I'm Jeremy Jacobs.
Jeremy.
I'm that guy.
So you're the owner.
Cool.
You're
all right.
Wow.
What a nice operation.
What a great vision.
I know.
These guys do all the work.
All right.
You got all the vision.
Those guys, they do all the work. I don't know.
Behind the scenes.
Probably provide the money.
I do that. That's one thing I do.
Yeah, he's from Tennessee. You know.
I'm from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
All right. Chattanooga.
So I'm 40 minutes from Nashville.
Yeah,
we go to dinner in Nashville. It's so close.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have a lot of good food in Bowling Green, so we might go to eat dinner on the weekends.
What would you say your speciality is?
Me?
You yourself. I mean, what's your superpower?
I figure out ways to solve problems that seem really complicated, and with technology I can apply and make them simple. Like I have a check-in kiosk that is used in thousands of factories all over the country, so they don't have to have somebody man a desk anymore, and it texts the person you're there to see, and as you sign off on all the disclosures and takes your photo and prints your badge, and it just does everything. I invented the digital menu in 2008, and Cisco Food sells it to all of their clients all over the world. They don't sell the marijuana ones, but I make these products for every industry.
Sure, it could work for everybody.
You see my products everywhere in the world. You've interacted with my products. There's a guarantee of that.
Point of purchase displays.
I have such a huge market share at our current. There's just no way you've not interacted.
So this is your new...
This is the cannabis version, The thing is, I've developed digital signage and kiosk, is you get to kind of see what gets adopted. Like, this is the first highly adopted digital signage product.
Yeah.
Digital leaves were the first ones. And now you're seeing self-service kiosk roll out. And so when you're talking about... speaking about... You know, like virtual reality, I think it'll come one day, but right now the margin's not there because it's so hard to sell.
It's too new. Still,
it's too new. So we watch markets and we come up with some technologies that are cutting edge. And a lot of times we'll wait. Like I invented this product. It tracks the number of people and when they come in, how long they stay, how frequently they return, whether or not they go to another person's location, what your average frequency of revisit is. And I do all that just by grabbing cell phone signals out of the atmosphere.
Average 11 minutes.
And then I can target all the consumers that come into the store. The same way, if you go to a website, now you start seeing their ads.
Right.
I can make it so if you come in the store, now you start seeing...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you should be
what I'm really doing is trying to break the barrier between the real world and the virtual world.
You got real time.
I want the internet world and the real world to come together.
Right.
And I want all that information about what you shop and what you look at. When you go places, you see the stuff you want to see.
Yeah.
Like it knows you're there and it plays the things you care about.
Yeah, I would think like Amazon would think a lot about this kind of stuff.
They do.
They
do.
They do. Yeah, that kind of thinking.
And they own Whole Foods.
You want to be able to visualize something and then get it right away.
Right, yeah.
And how does that happen?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
you are a part of the original dream of the internet before people got all paranoid.
That's it.
Well, it could lead to good things.
I don't know. I'm the guy taking a lot of information and making it useful. Everything we take from people is secure, and most of it's readily available information anyway. You can. It's on an exchange. You're monitored or tracked as soon as you decided you wanted to plug in.
I know.
You're in the grid.
Well, the closest thing I know like that is maybe a nervous system.
Yeah, right.
So maybe the internet is a nervous system.
It is.
And if so, then
it's an information nervous system.
It wouldn't have anything to hide from itself.
Right.
You know? And then it would be part of the species organism.
That's right. It should be.
Yeah.
Do I think that people giving up their privacy for convenience serves freedom? Because that's ultimately what we're doing right now, all of us.
Sure.
Because we're giving up privacy. So, you know, I don't know. I think the definition of freedom is different for different people. It means different things in different contexts. For me, it's not a freedom question. It's as much as a privacy versus convenience question.
Yeah.
And if you define freedom by privacy or convenience, then, you know, it depends on how you define
freedom. Freedom is to be able to imagine something and then creating it.
Yeah, freedom is the fact that nobody gets in my way of what I'm doing as long as I don't hurt anybody or steal anything.
Yeah, if it makes it easier to do it.
Yeah,
I'm a libertarian. You just fuck off. I got my life. You got your own life. If you don't want your circle to touch my circle, keep my circle over there.
Really?
I'll keep my circle over here.
Yeah.
Right.
That's freedom.
I agree. I think
that
people have
said it's free in the beginning. It gets worse as longer the political system gets to run on its own. It gets less and less free. That's what we've gathered historically now for tens of thousands of years. Until eventually it collapses and we start again.
Until it reboots.
And a new organism is born.
Yeah. Species organism of some sort.
Its child is born.
That's true. I mean, kids born today are connected with people around the world all the time, every day. Now it's normal.
My daughter goes live all the time. I get to check in on her, see what she's doing when she goes live.
Yeah.
It's the only notification I get from Instagram is when little Jimmy Jr. goes live. So, I wear the same outfit every day.
Yeah.
And she's got a hat just like mine, and she's an entrepreneur. She has a snow cone machine and a cotton candy machine and a gummy making machine she sets up and stuff, so she's a big entrepreneur.
Awesome.
So they call her Jeremy Jr. is what they call her. She's a hustler. She comes in my business and takes everybody's money selling snow cones. You give her $5 and she doesn't give change back. She says, who do you want to give the other four snow cones to? That's how she works.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's the boss's daughter. They got no choice. When they see her walking, they're like, oh, there goes my money. She doesn't quit until she has it all.
So she does live broadcasts herself?
She does. She's on YouTube. She's on Instagram. Jillian Aubrey Jacobs.
Wow.
She does a makeup expo. Sometimes she pulls pranks on me. She puts the radiator up on the toilet the other day. I went to piss in it and splash it all out and stuff. She's sitting
out. That still works.
Yeah.
Still works.
What did she do? She put saran wrap over the toilet.
You know, you have to notice
splashing. She's filming outside as I'm going, what the hell? And she's cracking up. She's live filming me, pissing on myself.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.